All right, it is Vision Sunday, and if this is your first time to Parkside, welcome here. Today's message is a little bit different than normal. Usually whoever is preaching will open the Bible, read a scripture, explain what it means, and then how it applies to our everyday personal lives. Today is a similar type day, except we kind of focus a little bit more, less on our own personal daily lives, and more so how our personal daily lives fit into the greater community of what it means to be a member of this body, a part of this body called Parkside Church. Now, the cynic will say, and there's a good part of me that's a cynic, so I understand this. The cynic will say, all right, this is the Sunday where that pastor gets up and says, you've got to volunteer more and you got to give more. And to that cynic, I say yes and no, all right? Now, there's a famous proverb in the Bible, Proverbs 29:18. You can throw it up on the screen, thanks. It says this, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Meaning that we as humans, we are prone to wander and slide into a cursed way of living if we don't have a God-given vision for our life and walk in that God-given vision for our life. My top advice to anyone, but especially youth and young adults, is to seek God with all your heart that you might receive from him vision for your life. Because that will be your guide and your strength and your source of direction for every step and every day of your life. His vision tells you very clearly and confidently what to say yes to and what to say no to. It orients your compass to true north, to a selfless, God-glorifying life and destination. It puts a hunger in your bones and a spirit that pulls you through the darkest and harshest of life's storms. And it grips you with confidence and conviction to actually step out in faith and to live the abundant life that he has prepared for you to walk out with him. This foundational human experience, this God-given birthright of every human to have a God-given vision for their life, is lost on most people today. And it should be of no surprise that on its heels are an increase of anxiety, depression, despair, apathy, confusion, obesity, aimless living, and many other evil things are often the result of a godless vision for our lives. People need a vision. And like saving for retirement, the younger you start with this, the more leverage you give yourself for the rest of your life, and the more that you can lift later in life in blessing others with God's vision for your life. It's especially advantageous for young people to seek the Lord for vision. But it's never too late to start for anyone. I was fortunate to be told this truth when I was 14 years old. My youth pastor said, God's got a call on every human's life. It's up to you to seek him and to find out why you are put on this planet. And I went home and I sought the Lord, and he called me to be a pastor. And I didn't like that vision for my life. I fought it for 2 years, but eventually surrendered. And his vision for my life has guided me every step of the way. You know, graduating from high school, my parents said, maybe you should go to UBC and you'd be good at becoming an engineer. And I said, no, I'm going to Bible college because God's called me to be a pastor. When headhunters came to me, it's always a funny term, that headhunter term, came to me in my early 20s, offering me a diversion, a different career that paid a lot more money, making more money than any 20-year-old should ever make in their life, I said no, because God has called me to be a pastor. And I remember a few years after that feeling a little bit of disillusioned, because it's like, okay, I'm doing this for you, Lord, but it doesn't seem to be easy or full of all fruitfulness and rainbows and lollipops along the way. I remember sitting on a beach one vacation, looking up to the mansions on a nearby cliff, being envious and discontent, and I heard the Lord say to me, Clint, that's not the kind of life I've called you to. You're a pastor, and mansions on earth will seem like a silly reward when you see what I have in store for you in heaven. Yeah. Or when people drive me nuts. That does happen, by the way. No one in this room, of course. When people drive me nuts and I'm tempted to pack up and to live out my fleshly dream of being a hermit in the mountains, I remember my call to be a pastor. When my wife died from cancer and life got even harder, and I would have the perfect excuse for running away from God's calling for my life, I remember his call, his vision to be a pastor. God's vision for my life has been a restraint in the best of ways. My heart is often full to overflowing with blessings because of following his vision for my life. His word is true and his way is good. Now, please understand this. God is deeply personal. His vision for your life and how he reveals it to you, whether it's a big picture calling or whether it's a year by year or step by step whisper and how he leads you in his vision for your life, it is good for us, even if we don't understand the big picture or the little parts that he is calling us to that lead to that. And oftentimes, we don't agree with his vision for our life. And his vision for our life is not always bizarre or dramatic, like sell everything you own and move to Iceland, all right? Like, it could be that. But more often than not, I find that his vision for our life is often very close to a deep desire within our heart. What it is and how normal or how crazy it might seem to us or others is not the issue at all. What is the issue is whether or not it has come from God. As big or as small, as simple or as complex, as normal or as bizarre as it might sound or look at the outset, that's irrelevant. What matters is who is giving you a vision. Who is calling you? Okay? Moving on. It's not just personal vision that we need for our lives. But likewise, if you have a household, you know, maybe you're married, maybe you have kids, you need a vision from God of why God has called you together, why he's given you the exact kids that he has given you or the spouse that he has given you. And it's why dads and moms, husbands and wives should be seeking the Lord together, not only for themselves, but for one another, their children, and the generations that will follow them, to discern and to walk into God's vision for your life. And yes, churches need vision too, to restrain us so that we know what to say yes to and what to say no to. And even nations need vision from God, but that is beyond our scope for today. Our focus today on a Vision Sunday, like today, is for God's vision for Parkside. Now, God's vision for Parkside, in a general sense, is the same vision that he has for every single church all around the world, for all of time that the church has been around. And it will remain this way until he returns. And there are many scriptures that are used as verbiage and definition for what God's vision for the church is, but perhaps the most famous and simplest is just his words to his disciples, to go and to make disciples. Right? That's probably the most well-known, and rightfully so. That's the overarching general vision for every church. That's the where, though, and the how, and the when of it all comes down to local groups of Christians like us uniting under the Spirit of God to discern the specifics of who God is calling us to reach and how we are to reach them and when we are to reach them. And on it goes, and on it's gone. Do you think for a second, you and I are here today because someone was willing to lead Alpha on a Tuesday night 1,980 years ago in the church in Antioch. Think about that. Let alone the sobering and inspiring context that we were able to host an Alpha program here this last Tuesday night in a warm and a dry building with a loving atmosphere because of the maturity and the sacrifices of folks like the Ewerts, who are now with Jesus, the Davies, the Vansons, the Kims, and others whose shoulders we stand on today. We read in the book of Acts, which records about the first 40 years of the church's history, that groups of disciples, starting with the council in Jerusalem, would discern together what ministries were to be started, what curriculum needed to be written to address this weakness or this ignorance or this shortfall or this wrong behavior, what training needed to be done, and when and where people were to gather and when and where people were to go, all with the same vision in mind, to go and to make disciples. And eventually, new missions teams would form and more would go out and preach the gospel in a new work and a new church would be started and disciples would be discipled to the point of maturity, meaning to that the point of a mature disciple is that they then go and make disciples. And on it went until one person was in fact told, sell everything and move to Iceland. What? We read more about this dynamic in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. It says this, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ, that's you and me, may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so that's why we're here. That's why you're here. That's why the church exists. We are continuing what Christ started through the apostles, and we will be faithful to the mission and vision of Jesus for our lives as it relates to our participation and place in this church until we die or he returns. Which brings us again to today, to the present. Why are we here? Why am I a part of the Parkside body? What am I to be receiving and to be being made into? And what am I to be giving? What am I to be making with my life as a part of Parkside? Now, I can't answer all of those questions properly in the time that we have, but we do have those answers, the big picture and your personal place in it, and it is experienced in our Parkside 101 course. Our next offering of this course is on a Friday night from 7 to 9, February 24th. You can find out more, sign up for it, parksidechurch.ca/101. Your newsletter insert has the link on it as well. Today I want to share some specific things that the majority of Parksiders need to keep in focus so that with this vision for Parkside, there might come restraint, and with restraint, his blessing that restraining ourselves to his vision produces. One part of our vision is for everyone to mature in Christ. Each one of us. You know, I was talking to a pastor this week who was venting to me, not from the area. He's venting to me. He's like, my church is filled with people that have been Christians for 6 or 7 decades. They've been a Christian for 60 or 70 years, but they are like they are 1 year old in Christ. They've just repeated the same year and the same maturity over and over and over. Part of our vision, part of our restraint as members of this body, is to take personal responsibility for our spiritual maturing in Christ. And we have the vehicle or the venues, the tools in place for us to take advantage of and to utilize that are catalysts and environments, greenhouses, so to speak, for us to begin to grow and to mature in Christ. Because attending here on a Sunday morning is great, and it's good, and it's needed, but it comes with some significant limitations. Two of those limitations are in-depth teaching and hands-on training. For that, we've created a thing that we call the discipleship pathway, where we explain things more and where we all have a safe place to step out and to practice what we're learning. Silas, you can put that little graphic of the mountains in there. You probably can't read it all, but there's a copy of it in your newsletter as well. We've assembled 14 core courses or experiences, or if you want to be really fun, call them adventures, all right? 14 adventures that combine a good mix of mentoring and practicing in what we believe are the essentials for every Christian. And it will take about 5 to 8 years for most people to complete all 14 adventures, depending on whether or not you go for 1, 2, or 3 a year. And just so you know, we strongly advise not taking on too much at once, because we do not mature overnight. Just as it takes years for a child to grow up and to be capable of being an adult, so too spiritually as we grow and mature in Christ. It takes restraint to vision over a long period of time for us to grow. I encourage you to either visit the website parksidechurch.ca/PDP, which just so happens to have a neat little video with your favorite pastors and some of your ministry leaders that Evan put together for us that kind of just walks us through in a fun way what this discipleship pathway is all about. So you can watch that video online if you want. Or there's a booklet, a spiral-bound booklet at the welcome desk that you can pick up that has more information on this initiative here at the church. So what is our restraint? The vision is for us to mature through the discipleship pathway. What is our restraint? Well, the restraint is each of us are instructed to take a minimum of 1 course a year. I think we can all do that. I think that's accessible and obtainable. It is a restraint that will produce blessing in your life and through your life to this church and through this church to our world. Already, we've had 26 Parksiders complete Parkside 101. We've had 77 Parksiders complete Hearing God. We've had 62 that have experienced their first Set Free retreat. 17 began yesterday, enrolled in our Financial Peace course. 15 last fall grew in the Spirit as they attended our first Empower Ministers retreat. 29 have finished or are on their way to completing our Bible 101 course, resulting in all of these folks growing in Christ, growing their roots down deep in the love of Christ, and that can only result in fruit in our lives. Already last year, we baptized 10 folks that made significant steps in their walk with Christ. In a country and climate today where 300 churches are closing in Canada every year, we as a church are growing. And we have our sights set on planting a church just nearby in West Mission. On Tuesday, we held our first Alpha in a long time, and the joy and the fruit that we saw that first night was amazing. And you know what was extra special about last Tuesday night? It wasn't the same old regular folks leading and serving. Hallelujah. It was incredible to see Jason and Nicole leading a whole team of new helpers and new hosts. Marie Vandeleur, there she is, bless you. She oversaw childcare. There's a special blessing coming for you in this life, definitely in heaven to come, all right? Marie Vandeleur helping it out with childcare. Carly Rempel cooked an amazing dinner for everyone. Lindsay Veenstra and Bob McDougall and others helped make folks feel welcome. Praise God. So how are you being made into a disciple of Jesus? Everyone shares in this call. What course will you take this year? Maybe it will be Parkside 101. It's probably the easiest and definitely the shortest one. It's a great start. It's designed to be that way. There's emotionally healthy spirituality, a new course for us, but it's been around for over 20 years. Its effectiveness is proven. It's an 8-week course starting on Tuesday nights, March 28th. Or there's the Hearing God course, offering it again, starting on Thursday nights, beginning on March 30th. Or this fall, you can procrastinate if you want, push it off till all the way to November, our next offering of a Set Free retreat. That's the first part of our vision. There's many other parts. I'm just highlighting three this morning. The second part of our vision is something I've called project delegation. All right? Our church council has hired, for a few hours a week, Evan Rabel, who's helping us out back there today. And he's taking some of my weekly and technical and clerical tasks off of my desk, thereby freeing up some of my time to shift my attention over to the area of delegation, various tasks and responsibilities to more Parksiders. Some of you are avoiding eye contact right now. You know, when my kids were young, my time at home was consumed with laundry, cooking, cleaning, budgeting, and all of the other domestic tasks. But as they matured and became more capable, therefore, I was able to train them in the art of laundry, the physics of loading a dishwasher, and there are physics involved. And everybody has their particular way, right? The passion in seeing your reflection in a clean toilet bowl. To the point today, where we're at today, where I do very little of the housework. It's awesome. Ruby does all the laundry, Charlie does all the dishes, and we share in the toilets and the showers and the floors and everything else. It's awesome. And it results in less burnout for me personally as a parent. And it results in more time to be able to further my attention or increase my attention to developing what's next for our family. Now, the road from there to here was painful for them and for me. Training someone is time-consuming and it's messy. It's frustrating and hard for both parties. And I could talk a lot more about this part of our vision, but I'll summarize it like this. I, as your pastor, as one of your pastors, am ready and able to let go of some of the work of the ministry, and some of you are ready and capable to take it on and to learn a new chore. Now, if you're like my kids, you might be thinking, hide. He's coming upstairs, and I know what he's going to ask me to do. I saw those dishes on the counter. But when you stop and think about it, I mean, what do kids who don't learn how to do chores or work hard look like as adults? It is a sad and miserable experience, both for them and for society. Likewise, you might not want to learn something new or take on more responsibility, but it's good for you. It's good for this family, and it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace in society that God is glorified through. And just so you know, if I don't come for you this year, do not be offended. Some of you will be. Others of you will be like, counting my blessings. You know, a call display, oh, it's Clint. Ignore that. Because I and others can only train so many people at one time. And quite frankly, the people that we will focus on first are the ones that are farthest along in our discipleship pathway. We've already got Tyrell leading our Bible 101 for the first time. We've got Jason and Nicole leading Alpha, Chuck and Yvonne leading financial peace, Charlene leading emotionally healthy spirituality. That's a fourfold increase taking place right now. Praise God. Yeah. So what's your restraint as a result of this vision? If the first restraint was to be made into a disciple, to receive that teaching and that training, perhaps the second part of the vision of restraint could come with the question, where are you making a disciple? We are to be made into disciples so that we can make disciples. And just like kids becoming adults, we begin to learn how to do that, starting with small little things, and it grows and it grows and grows until we become a fully functioning, healthy, responsible adult who is then able to take that and do that with a new family and new chores and more children, and on it goes. Who or what are you doing to make disciples? That's all I'll say about that for today. The third part of our vision that I need to highlight today is our call to plant a church in West Mission. You can put that next one up though. Thanks, Silas. We don't know the when or the who or the how of this project. We just know the what and the why. Now, we know that Mission continues to grow in number. Planned development in West Mission is set to double the size of Mission over the next 15 to 30 years, and that we believe that the vast majority of those neighbors will not know Jesus. Now, we could come up with our own plans right from the gate and try to strong-arm the Lord into blessing our bestest ideas and strategies, but we feel strongly that the right way forward is to come to the Lord and say, what are your plans, Lord? Show us and help us. So what's the restraint that comes from this part of the vision for the general church family of Parkside? It is this. It is to consider giving to this work above and beyond our regular contributions to the church, and to consider joining in some of our prayer walks that will begin a couple times a month for the next few months beginning in February. The purpose of these prayer walks is fivefold. First, to aid our prayers. It helps to be physically there to see and to help us in our prayer for what we are focused on praying for. Secondly, to get us on the same page with God, to see what He sees and to hear what He wants us to do in that area. Third, we are to go on the offensive. For the front line of the battle for the souls of our neighbors is the spiritual realm. And therefore, if we are to free captives from hell's grip, our first line of attack is in the heavenlies by prayer. Fourth, we believe that through prayer that God likes to move through prayer. That's His preferred mode of action and power on display is through the humble prayers of faithful people. God loves to honor and answer the sincere cries and brokenness of his humble, faithful, and dependent people. That way, when things come through in the end, he is glorified because he did what is only he can do and not humanly possible. Fifth, this is the fifth reason and last reason why we are doing these prayer walks, is if the Lord isn't leading us, then there is no greater waste of time, resources, or energy. Prayer is the vehicle that puts us behind Jesus so that he can lead us. It is my belief that through this season of prayer walks, the Lord will begin to reveal the who and the when and the how. Our strategy will come from the Lord. His people will be called. And what we put our hands to will prosper if the Lord is in it. These, in total, are just three parts of a larger vision. But I thought it would be most helpful for the most people if I dialed into these three parts of our vision today. That with vision comes restraint, that is the clarity and discipline of what to say yes and no to. And those that walk in restraint of the vision are blessed by it, by the Lord. So what course will you take this year? Where can you serve? And are you to pray and are you to give to a church plant? Those are the three questions that each of us needs to answer before the Lord. You can answer them now if he's already been speaking to you. Perhaps you can take it as a matter of prayer this week. And just say, Lord, take the little pamphlet home. It's the insert in your newsletter. It's got these three dynamics on the back page of it. And you can sit before the Lord and say, Lord, one, is this of you? Because every child of God, by nature of being a child of God, has the ability to hear God. And you should not just blindly follow humans, even if they're as good-looking as I am, okay? I don't even have to look. I know that was Jason, all right? It is your job, okay? And it's my job to tell you this as a honest pastor, is to say that you are to test what your leaders say to you before the Word of God. And by the witness of His Spirit illuminating the Word of God, that it is your job to test this and say, is this of the Lord? And then if it is of the Lord, it is your job to say, okay, what is my part in this? What role am I to play? How am I to be a member in God's family at Parkside in and through all of this? And then obviously with that clarity of vision comes a clear course of action and responsibility that we are then to step out and to act in the way that he leads us. Sound good? Let's pray, and the music team can come up. Lord, we come before you today with a little bit of a different thought in our hearts in terms of the mechanics and the practices, the very specific practices that as a part of this body called Parkside, we're being called to. Just as your word says, Lord, I pray that those that you've put in positions of leadership in this church, that they would be faithful trainers and equippers of the ministry of Jesus in 2023 in and through Parkside. I pray for strength and wisdom and favor and unity there. Lord, I pray for the members and the parts of this body that you have called together to reveal your goodness and your love and your power and your beauty, one to another, but also to our world as well, to be a light unto others, Lord. I pray for clarity of vision for our lives personally and in our households and as members of this body. And Lord, I pray that as your Spirit reveals the way that we are to take personally and corporately, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit afresh and anew on us, that if something seems scary or awkward or challenging, that if you've called us to it, then we know that we can do it. And Lord, we'll ask you for wisdom and grace and strength to be able to see it come to reality and to actually step out and to say yes to this or say no to that, whatever it entails. I pray, Lord, that you would grace us with that clarity of vision and that strength to obey. Lord, unite your church under the ministry and the lordship of yourself, that we would be sheep learning from the good shepherd, that is you, and that we would hear your voice, know your voice, and follow it. In your name we pray. Amen.